Hey everyone, I'm Travis.
And I'm Ryan.
Thanks for hanging with us and listening for a bit as we jump into another session of the Wheat and the Chaff.
And yes, unfortunately Travis is in mourning right now. And
I am.
And I'm trying to lament with him, but I really can't. His Packers lost to Brady, the GOAT.
Inexplicable.
Brady is going to his 10th Super Bowl. And Rodgers has an interesting stat that I shared with Travis after the Packers lost. I gave him a little bit of time to mourn, maybe about 5 seconds. And I texted him this thing that Rodgers holds the same amount of NFC championships as another quarterback that goes down in more infamy than in like Hall of Fame talk. Rodgers usually gets put in the Hall of Fame talk. This other quarterback, not so much. This other quarterback is named Rex Grossman.
Oh, Rex.
The Bears quarterback who, actually our oldest son, Cademan, was going to be named Rex, but he was born the year Rex Grossman lost the Super Bowl
to the Indianapolis Colts. I always thought that Rex was named for Rex Grossman. Are you saying no? Are you saying no? I just felt like no.
No,
you were obviously paying homage to one of the classic Bears.
He is tied with Aaron Rodgers. Or NFC championship.
The only stat that he has tied with Aaron Rodgers. poor Rex Grossman. Well, we won't belabor it with too much NFL talk. But yes, there was weeping and gnashing of teeth as I tried to make sense of what I was watching unfold on my television.
Did you want to travel out to Green Bay and say, "Oh, Lambeau, Lambeau, how I long to gather you"?
I will say, I actually had hope. I had fingers crossed. Because they had announced that they were going to put, I think, like 6,000 or 7,000 people in the stadium. And I was like, dang. If there was ever a time to be able to possibly snag a ticket and go be there, just because of the amount of people who wouldn't be willing to go be there, I was like, I will risk the whatever.
Yep.
I will take all my precautions, but I would be willing to at least give it a try to go watch a game at Lambeau Field. And I looked at the prices, and I was like, this is achievable. Like, these are not ridiculous, right? Good. Like, again, just...
Yeah.
But then I found out that they only were allowing season ticket holders, and the season ticket holder whose name was on the ticket had to be present for the check-in because it would only be... accessed off of their app, right? Like, whatever.
So it's basically like contract tracing type of...
Exactly, yeah. Right? Like,
that makes
it was
sense.
One of these deals where it's like, that way no one could just simply go and sell off their tickets to anybody who could buy.
Yeah,
like, so it had to be like, you had to actually have some kind of connection to it. Which, I know some season ticket holders, but like, not the kind that I'd be like, hey, are you going to the game and you want me to come? So I was sad because I was like, that would be a heck of a fun way to go into, into the year.
See Brady and Rodgers.
Go see Brady and Rodgers. Like I always say it because I've gotten to see Brady and Rodgers at Gillette.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I got to watch Brady and Rodgers, but it was one of those kind of games where I think Rodgers got hurt fairly early, and one of his backups ended up playing like at least the second half. I can't remember who I think it was Hundley or somebody like that. But anyway,
well,
I've
seen Brady and Grossman.
Well,
go ahead.
They both started. And again, that might be the only thing Grossman and Brady will ever have in common is that they both started a game.
No, they have the same amount of NFC championships.
Oh my goodness. Well, we won't bore our listeners with lonely lamenting football talk. We've got a few things I wanted to talk about today. How about you?
Every day I'm wondering. So we're past the election, thankfully. We're past the inauguration.
We are.
Thankfully.
We are. We are now in the COVID vaccination era of our lives.
Which, apparently that's the mark of the beast.
That
so make sure
the microchips get in you.
make sure you check all... make sure you check your shoulder when you get your vaccine. Make sure it's 666 doesn't appear or doesn't appear on your forehead.
Oh my gosh!
So,
did you see the thing about the idea that it was actually the vaccine is actually just deployed by big tech to insert microchips into you so that way you can constantly be traced. And I was like, but you carry a phone. They don't need to inject anything in you. This is always on you anyway.
You're posting that comment on Facebook.
On, exactly.
Probably from your smartphone.
Have you
where they can actually trace
have
you.
Have you hit the point where you want to tell people that the things that they're ranting about while using the devices that they're ranting with are all part of the same thing?
I don't think it matters.
Like I found myself humorously and then slightly maddeningly chuckling and growing, but then also growing a little bit more and more frustrated with people who like go to Twitter to rant about how controlling Twitter is. And I'm like, but you're posting this on Twitter. If they were actually as controlling as you say, they wouldn't let you post there, but they do. And so you can say what you want to say on Twitter, to Twitter, at Twitter, about Twitter, and Twitter just doesn't care.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm finding myself more and more.
Unless you try to incite insurrection, then you.
Well, but I mean, that's a different level of stuff, right? Like, most people aren't. Most people don't wake up today and go, you know what I'm going to do? Storm something.
But that. Well, you know, that's censorship. And the government is coming for us, and we're all going to be censored and not able to post anything. Even though, you know, when we sign up for these social media accounts, we agree to terms and conditions.
I have a question. I want your thoughts. This is
just
part of our discussion.
Just let that
yes,
I'll
exactly.
Just leave
that one hanging.
Just
yes.
Leave that hanging for
yes.
You all to come.
Everybody who doesn't read the really, really long legal thing and they just look for that quick checkbox that says accept, it's your fault. But here's my question. You know, we're pastors. We've been mostly raised in the church, I think. I think we've had a pretty good context of various kinds of churches and movements and denominations. We've lived in various parts of the United States. There is, at least for me, I'm curious to know for you, there was at least for me this tension of like, the church and the government were always kind of like opposing forces. It was never expected that one would kind of play nicely with the other. In fact, it was usually kind of speculated that things might be going awful if they play too nicely together, right? But there also wasn't this sense of like, you know, the government overlord, the government persecution, the government oppression, right? Like, so we grew up with this sense of like, okay, government in and of itself is not godly or ungodly. It's just a form of
just is what it
practicing,
is.
Right? Yeah. Like, it's just a form. It's a system. It has no actual nature. And so, you know, the church fighting the government, you weren't fighting government. You were fighting people.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, I just was curious, like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, when you see churches that post about the government or pastors that post about the government and the overlords of the government or the, you know, the oppressive, you know, anti-Christian stance of the government, what are your takes? I'm just curious to know your thoughts.
So I'll start with an example. Again, I am the sharer of all the Twitter content because that's what I enjoy doing. It's my entertainment.
You like dumpster diving.
I dumpster dive into Twitter and scroll through. And, it you know, it doesn't take long to find interesting things. So there was a pastor. I think he was a Southern Baptist pastor, I think. I'm not going to say his name because I don't even remember his name. But he was recently, I'm going to say it's this past Sunday, at his pulpit, you know, preaching, and mentioned that, you know, basically we have a president who is, you know, incompetent, mentally incompetent. You know, there's always that joke of Biden, can't get put sentences together, which, you know, there's maybe some validity to that, but...
I mean, the guy's like 78.
I know, he's the oldest president we've ever had.
Right, so what do you expect? Like, you know, give him a little bit of grace. Yeah, like
when I'm 78, I don't think I want to be president. But you know,
that's what I'm saying. Like at 78, the guy's doing something that I wouldn't want to do now.
And of course, then he goes and talks about Kamala Harris and calls her Jezebel.
Oh yes,
because you know when the theory is or the belief is that you know this was all a ploy. Biden was the puppet president, where Kamala Harris is actually the real president, and that was the whole Democratic
thing. I've heard this theory. I can't remember if we talked about it or if it was actually something that someone pointed out. But you're actually voicing a theory, like a conspiracy theory, that many, 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 and I would say this isn't even like a right wing thing. This was like very prevalent in a lot of Christian circles, yeah. right? The evangelical, especially the South, is where I found that came across the same thing a lot. Of Biden's presidency is like a puppet token ship where he's going to take over and then mysteriously be put out of commission.
Yeah, he'll get some illness or
and
something.
Then, and so it was actually like this whole campaign has just been nothing but actually, you know, a sham in order to put Kamala in as president.
Kamala, or a.k.a.
Jezebel as... Apparently. Yes.
So I start with that to say, like...
God.
And this kind of relates to what I was thinking about earlier today. Is like, where do we go from here as the evangelical church when we still have pastors, spiritual leaders who are in these pulpits who are doing this? This is not Christ-like. This is not what Christ... Do you think Christ was going around, Jesus was going around saying... Yeah, man, that emperor, woo, he is horrible. Like, he is a sack of crap, you know?
When Pilate's wife goes to Pilate, you know, and goes, listen, don't have anything to do with this. This man is innocent. Do you think Jesus' disciples went, Jezebel!
Jezebel!
quit trying to influence your husband, Jezebel!
To compare Kamala Harris to Jezebel, it's like, do you even know who Jezebel was?
Right.
Like, I mean, she was a horrible person.
I think that's a thing. I don't think most people have any reference of who these people actually were. It's like, you know, we throw around like, oh, that person's like, you know, that person's like Hitler. That person's like Stalin. It's like, no. When you talk about those people, you're talking about people who literally coordinated the death, genocide, mass murder of millions and millions of people. And people think Hitler's the worst of the two, but he's not. Stalin was by far the worst of the two because he simply killed tens of millions of more people.
And let's just talk about Jezebel, right? Jezebel, when Ahab came to her, he wanted a vineyard, and the guy wouldn't sell him his vineyard, so he goes and pouts like a 2-year-old,
yeah. And Jezebel's
like, what's wrong with you? He's like, he wants to have the vineyard. And so she's like, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And frames the guy, frames the vineyard owner so that he is killed.
Yes.
And then when Ahab is gone and her son is the king, and then I think Ahaziah was his name, and Ahaziah was killed by Jehu, who was just anointed new king of Israel. And what does Jezebel do? Puts her makeup on.
Yeah.
And she doesn't care that her son's dead. Yep. She could care less. Yep. She's like, bring it on, Jehu, because yep. I'm going to still be in power.
Yep.
And then, you know, her servants push her off the ledge and kill her.
Yeah, yeah. Her reign was not considered the best of times. Like, she was not a beloved queen.
She was horrible.
She is no queen, Queen Elizabeth, no queen, you know.
Yeah.
None of
so
these, you
this
know,
is who
women.
We're comparing Kamala Harris to, who, yeah. you know, most of these guys, like, have you ever talked to Kamala Harris? Do you even know anything about her? You may not agree with some of the things, her policies. I don't agree with some of her policies, but I'm not going to call her Jezebel.
Yeah.
I'm not going to look at her and say this. So I think, like, it goes back to the question of where do we go from here? Man, there's got to be. It's like when Jesus died and the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. I think God needs to take the church and the government and tear us apart. Because it's just getting bad. It's just like, we don't realize how we are ruining our witness and losing yes. our ability to, our right to speak
yes.
to people and to speak the gospel into people's lives because... We're just, you know, we're doing all this stuff and, you know, we're all about our guns and we're all about this and we're all about that. And it's like, well, how about we're all against this and this and this. And it's like, well, how are they going to know that we're all about Jesus? I was reading some tweet and he says, you know, it was always challenging to talk about the gospel before all this. But now to get to the gospel, we have to talk about, you know, how we spoke against Black Lives Matter, how we spoke against... this and how yeah. we spoke against this and how we spoke against this and how we won our guns and how we had, you know, Jesus saves at the Capitol insurrection and how we did that and all of these things, like just listing all these things. And it's like, yeah, that's where we have to go to now. We yeah. have to go through all that junk just to get to, okay, now can we talk about Jesus?
So I'm in this place, and I'm interested to know your thoughts and what you've been practicing with this, because I'm in this place where, you know, I don't tend to make quick disassociations, right? Like, in one sense, part of me goes, okay, like, I'll disassociate from, like, a group or from some kind of movement or something like that just as normal. But, like, I really value the relationships I have with people. I value the friendships. I value work time that I've had with someone, the, you know, collegiality that where we spent time together. But I'm finding myself that there's more and more, you know, on one hand, there's several of people that I have, you know, good friendships or good connections to or good stories with that are not only, like, in these more kind of, like, conspiracy-driven, crazy movements, but they're vocally pushing for them. They're vocal proponents of them, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example of one. I've got a friend who is 100% convinced in what is referred to as the Zelenko Protocol, which was a method of treating COVID for about 2 weeks, like at the end of last March, early April, where it was some small-town doctor in New York City who is a Jewish doctor in a Hasidic Jewish community.
I remember this,
Was like, oh, here's this stuff that usually is used to treat malaria.
Yep.
And we'll combine it with some zinc and a little bit of something else, and we'll give it to patients who are beginning to show symptoms. And, oh, look, a lot of these people felt better. Maybe this is a way to treat stuff. And he kind of pushes some stuff out there, you know, and make some claims of like, hey, you know, we've treated all these different people, we've treated all this different stuff, and we're having no hospitalizations, we're having no ventilations, we're having no deaths, right? Because especially think of the time, that was the time where if you caught COVID, the fear was that just simply...
It was a death sentence.
That you were, like, COVID was, you would be in a hospital with a ventilator fighting for your life. And that is true for some people. It was not as true for everybody, right? But that's stuff that we found out. We found out, like, oh, there's this range. There's this spike. Then we found out not long after that, I think in, like, April or early May even, that, like, oh, you could have a completely asymptomatic carrier, right? So, like, again, as good science does, we learned as we went and started studying and understanding this thing. But the Zelenko Protocol got picked up by... some Fox News stuff, then it got pushed out on a couple of pundit news things, and then the next thing you know, it's in the hands of Trump's administration. And Trump is pushing for this stuff. This is where you got the whole, like, inject chlorine into your, directly into, right, like, because he doesn't even say the medicines right. He puts out, like, a completely different thing, and the next thing you know, you got people, like, shooting up with chlorine or bleach or whatever.
And washing down with some Tide Pods.
Right? But anyway, it's one of these deals where, so this doctor, you know, gets kind of up onto this hype thing. He starts releasing YouTube videos. He starts claiming that he's treated, like, you know, tens of thousands of people, right? And by May, by early May, which is 4 to 6 weeks, there's already a letter from the representatives of his community, his Hasidic Jewish community, asking for him to shut up and resign. Like, basically, no, this is not the truth. The things that are being marketed are not the truth. None of this is true. We're going to ask him to step down. By the end of May, he has resigned and disappeared, and you never hear from him again. But the protocol lives on in the minds of all of these viral sharers who are convinced that if you just pop some malaria pills, you know, take a zinc tab and, you know, possibly drink some bleach, you'll be great. And now a year almost has gone by, right? And science has done what science has done. By July, the FDA had done a study on his exact little mixture and found that it can work for people showing mild symptoms. Yeah. If you catch it early at the very beginning, it can help boost the system, the immune system, to help fight the COVID stuff. However, they found that if you had heart issues, it can totally and completely exacerbate them. And they actually ended up having in their study several fatalities of people who, is part of the study, were taking this mix of zinc and the other stuff. And it ended up causing... heart issues, and they ended up dying from the heart issues, but impacted by this stuff. So they dropped it. They literally said, no one's recommending this at this point. Last week, my friend is up and just going strong. He's like, it is a conspiracy. It is a conspiracy. Everybody was so worried because his protocol cost you $20 and their protocol costs you like $1,000 and they're gonna make the money, but you can't make money on his. He's like, it was a conspiracy. And I was like, brother, you would have to have everybody in on a conspiracy to shut down some small town family doctor that no one has ever heard of before. Like, you'd have to be, I said, you know the levels of coordination that you would have to get people to agree to just target this one completely unknown dude. Kind of, and he goes, and that's how it happens. And I was like, and the ship has sailed.
And that's, yeah, very similar to, you know, another conspiracy theory that the election was stolen.
Or that it's, that it will be reversed on March 4th.
Yes.
March 4th will suddenly be the rise of Skywalker, as it were.
I guess.
Well, honestly, Trump has the hair for Skywalker. Now that you think about it, you know, he could.
I don't want to care. Luke Skywalker is one of my heroes. Skywalker.
I know it's hard. It's hard to envision. But my question to you was this: how do you deal with people? Like, at what point do you, you know, there's disassociating and saying, hey, we're not part of this movement. We're not part of this culture. We're not part of this group. We're not part of this stance. But then there's actually having to start kind of defining, like, this person who we have relationship with is kind of ruining it for the rest of us. Because, again, it's really difficult for us to be able to speak the truth about Christ, the truth about the good news of the gospel, if it looks like we're also spouting these nonsense conspiracy theories. And I'm at this point where it's, like, a difficult one. I mean, I've probably, you know, unfriended, like, I could probably count them on one hand, the amount of people I've kind of, like, disconnected completely from in my life, because I don't like to do that. But I'm at the point of, like, let's just roll through the list and see who is, and let's see who, like, I'm not looking for those who are worthy of staying. I'm just looking at those people who are like, you've left the good ship, Travis.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, what is your take on that? What has been your practice over the past bit of kind of balancing your friend list, as it were?
Yeah, I think I've unfollowed people. Just for the sake of, like, okay, I'm not buying into this. I'm, you know, if it's one post, whatever.
Yeah,
if it becomes consistent, then it's like, okay, I don't need this. I just unfollow.
Yeah.
I may not unfriend. I haven't unfriended anybody, I don't think, because I don't go to that point. But unless we're just really, it's more like Facebook friends and we don't really live close or whatever. So I just kind of gauge, like, how that is. But
is it the Christian thing to do? I had someone explain to me, they went into great detail, that if you do that, you are not walking in grace and forgiveness and open whateverness. And I was like, well,
Jesus said, wipe the dust off your feet.
Right? Exactly. So that's my question to you. It's like, where is for believers, right, for Christians who are trying to walk that balance between being a good witness for Christ in the world, but they're connected to, or their families are part of, or their friend groups are part of, nonsense. Because we don't, you know, like, I think, again, having grown up in kind of our church culture, we were probably taught that we actually kind of stay in a closed Christian group and you block out a lot of the secular stuff, the non-Christian stuff, right? You didn't have friends over here and you didn't go do that thing and you didn't watch that movie and you didn't listen to that music, right? But I almost am at this point where I feel like this has come, it's come and done a 180 in my life, where I'm almost like, I really prefer all my friends to be not Christians, because most of my friends who aren't Christians aren't spouting absolute gibberish.
It's very true, because, I mean, the thing is, like, Allie and I were just talking about this the other day, it's like, any decision we make that may appear to be controversial, right? I don't worry about what the outside world, like, non-Christians will think. I worry about what the Christians will think. And that should not be.
No.
That should not be at all. And I think we need to start calling out, and it's a fine balance, because you don't want to be a troll, okay? You don't want to end up in troll
status. I do kind of want to be a troll on some days.
Some days
I will be honest. There's a part of me that deeply loves trolling.
I troll some people on Twitter, but I'm very careful of how I
admit it openly.
I'm very careful of how I write it. If I'm responding to something, because I don't want to.
Which name you use?
Yes. I changed
which account that you logged into for your trolling.
I have my private account that nobody knows who I am.
A private troll account.
So I'm very careful how I word it, but I'm also want to challenge and say, like, hey, you don't realize, like, this kind of stance is pushing people away from Jesus. Don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we have to start calling people out, especially with the conspiracy theories and stuff. And maybe as pastors, we have to start preaching on gossip and say, you share this on Facebook, on social media, or you just talk about it, and this is your belief, conspiracy theory, whatever it is, that's gossip because there's no truth to it. There's no facts to back it up. It's just your opinions. You need to get away from some of the media outlets that keep pushing this because they don't have any facts either. And so we need to get back to Jesus and just sharing about Jesus. If you want to post on Facebook, post about Jesus. You want to post on, you want to talk to somebody about whatever your beliefs are, tell them about your beliefs in Jesus, not these conspiracy theories, because the world, the non-Christians are sick of hearing Christians talk about these conspiracy theories, because the non-Christians are going, you guys are idiots.
Yeah.
That's how they're seeing
it. And that's not to say that like everyone who stormed the Capitol is a devout Christian. I doubt it. But there are probably a few who would claim to be. But that's the thing, right? Like, there's just that sense of, okay, we have to figure out how to discern. I mean, frankly, I mean, you know, to use some harsher language, it's how you discern the sheep and the wolves, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's been one of the constant kind of, you know, warnings from Jesus and the apostles, is that there will be those who try to look like you, who try to fit in among you, and then they're going to try to destroy and consume your people, or your system, or your culture, and I think that there is something there where it's like, I don't tend to, you know, walk around going, "Are you a wolf? Are you a wolf? Are you a wolf? Are you a wolf?" Yeah. And I don't believe that everyone who disagrees with me is a wolf, right? Like, I don't think that everybody who disagrees with me, "Oh, you're a wolf in sheep's clothing," which is a little bit of a difference from, again, the Southern church I grew up in. If you disagree with the pastor, you were a wolf in sheep's clothing, and you were just rebellious, because obviously the pastor was automatically right.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
No.
I would have been a great wolf in sheep's clothing in his church.
Pastors can be wrong.
You know, but, so it's like, I don't look for like, oh, if we disagree, you must be, you know, suspicious, or you must be undermining something. I think we just disagree. But I do think that there are definitely people who try to infiltrate and try to model. And I think sometimes that they do it purposefully, and sometimes they don't do it consciously at all. I think there are a lot of people who aren't aware that the stuff that they're buying into is a complete and total sham. But then they go in there, part of the church, and they just spout this stuff. And it's like, it just ruins good culture. It ruins good churches. It makes the church, it puts that church from like, oh, this is a healthy, you know, vibrant community that lives to bless its larger community, into that's like one of those sketchy churches that only crazy people go to. It's like Westboro Bible, you know, or Westboro Baptist. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, that's how you get there, is by believing some nonsense stuff.
We're getting close to that. I mean, and they were really extreme, but we're getting close to that. And I think we need to start, as the church, we need to start calling out some of these like more prominent figures right now and say, you know, we're not going to listen to Eric Metaxas anymore, and we're not going to read his books anymore. And I know that sounds like, oh, you're boycotting? Well, he's gone crazy. He's gone completely nuts.
And that's the thing. This is not a political issue. This is not, oh, you need to be this, you know, thinking this party or against this party.
This has nothing to do
with... This is just simply discerning, like, what is it that people are saying, and what does it mean? And, like, Metaxas is another... Yeah, I think he's an excellent example of someone who's like, he was here, and now he's jumped way over here. And I'm like, I have a hard time vibing with what he's trying to sell. It's right up with my friend with, like, he has decided for himself personally, he has decided to carry the mantle of this medical protocol because no one else is. And I'm like, well, no one else is because every form of medical community has debunked it. And not to say that it was initially bad, right? Like, no one has gone out to try to crucify the guy. All they're saying is, hey, what we knew in March and in April is different than what we knew in July, which is different than what we knew in October, which is different than what we know now. And so what might have been something here, we have better stuff. It's just, it's not even that, like, you can't do this. It's like, it's just not necessary. We have something better. We have something more improved. And this guy has decided that all these improvements are completely a scam. It's all about, you know, this overtaking of government control, and that really it's this one unknown dude who has the system that works for everybody, and if we would all just take it, no one would ever have COVID at all. And that's the part where I'm like, dude, you're carrying the torch for, like, it's not even a team. It's like it's one guy that you're carrying this torch for, but you're carrying this torch and you are telling people that if they believe in Jesus, this is also their torch to carry.
I think we need to take as especially as like leaders of churches and even just lay leaders, you know, it doesn't have to be pastors. We need to take some hardline stands and say, you know, we're not going to listen to that nonsense, and we're not going to promote that, and we're not going to let that. We're done. We're done talking about that.
Yeah.
And you know, I think about you know, I've heard off and on for ever since I've been in ministry or whatever that, you know, God will send people to your church when he thinks you're ready for it. You know, kind of go that parable.
Ah, yes.
You know,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I do believe that. I'm a firm believer in that. And I'm looking at the American church right now, the white American church right now, and looking at it and going, God is not sending people our way because we have issues. I think if we really looked at Scripture and we really set aside and said, like, all right, let's look at Scripture as though it's a mirror, and start reading through Scripture and see who we look like. I think we look like more like the Corinthian church mm-hmm. in the first letter, mm-hmm. the Corinthians.
The messy one.
The messy one.
The one where the dude was like getting on with his mama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one.
Yes, that one. I think we would look a lot.
There's some questionable stuff in Corinthians. If you guys haven't read it yet, there's a little bit of some background there that before you jump into that letter.
1 Corinthians 5, that's what chapter said. But I think we would look like that, and I think that we need to start evaluating. And this is not... just like Travis said about not everybody who is storming the Capitol is a true follower of Jesus. Not every church in America is acting like this. Because there are certainly churches that are doing everything we can to follow Christ, to promote Jesus, to glorify Jesus, to make much of Jesus, all those kind of things. You know, we have our issues along the way, but we... do our best to repent of those and reconcile whatever we need to do and follow Scripture. But I think in the overall, I think that the American church has got some cancer going on.
Yeah.
And it's starting to permeate and it's starting to come out. And God has said, and I prayed this all last year, like leading up to the election, I prayed, God, just do something, even if you have to bring us to our lowest point.
Yeah.
And I think what God has done is he's revealing these things. And he's like, this, you wonder why people are not coming to church. You wonder why people are leaving. You wonder why a whole generation is leaving church. This is why.
Yeah.
This is why. This stuff is why. And so I think if we really listen to the Holy Spirit, we got a guy in my church, and I just love his attitude because he's always like, for too long we've tried to do church and tried to be Christians without the Holy Spirit. We need to talk about the Holy Spirit. We need to pray. We need to preach about the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, yes, you're right. We do.
Agreed.
And I think we need to sit back and say, all right, Holy Spirit, show me, show us what it is. Whatever it may be harsh. It's almost like when Samuel was first called as the prophet of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he kept going into Eli's bedroom. Because he kept hearing God. And Eli finally told him, hey, next time he says it, Eli finally got the picture, like, all right, God is talking to you. Next time says, yes, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, right?
Yeah.
And then God told Samuel some bad news for Eli.
That's right.
And then the next day he said, what did God tell you? And Samuel didn't want to tell him.
Yeah.
And he's like, you better tell me. I don't care if it's good or bad.
Yep.
You have to tell me. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to sit back and say, all right, Holy Spirit, tell me good or bad.
I agree. Well, listen, we've got to wrap it up. This one went fast as we got into the deep stuff. So we'll wrap it up for today. Thanks for listening. Be better. Do good. Leave the crazy.
Yes.
I think that sums up this episode.
I think it does too.
Hey, thanks for listening. We'll catch you all next week.
See ya.